Okay, well, let's prepare to move your chairs, face me. You don't have to bring them back because at the end of the message, you will go back in the group. So you just turn your chair. Don't arrange them. Just turn them. That's okay. Okay, so here we are. Lately we've learned that a lot about the community of the church, the family of faith, a community of testimony bearers. We bear testimony in this world. When we come together, and we do this often, even it's Sunday or during the week, in the small group, or prayer group, or other groups that we are, or even if when you meet another believer, right, and you talk and you pray together, whatever we do, when we come together, we bear a testimony, and this testimony is about God's love and sacrifice. We are the result of God's love and sacrifice. Amen? Yeah, that's the good news. Now, when God brought us from the world, He immersed us in the church. And I'm not talking about the universal church, but I'm talking about a local church, a group of people that they always gather together for the same purpose, to be a testimony. Now, we looked at the biblical factor and we realized that the church is like a family, and the relationship among us should be like in a family. And then we realized that we are not only family, but we are also friends. Jesus said, "You are my friends. I will lay down my life for you." And He did it, right? Now, it's our responsibility to do the same. Ouch. Maybe you didn't thought about that, but when you are a member of a local church and in a family, then you are ready to give your life for your friends in that church and not to sacrifice the church for your own sake. You understand that? We don't live through the world's principles, but through the biblical principles. And then we realized that there was another factor that change a little bit the way we think the church is the covenant. We are in a covenant with Jesus Christ, all of us. Therefore, we are all of us in a covenant. So the church is a covenant relationship type church. Now, what does it mean that? Well, we look into Jonathan and David, and Jonathan said, "I love you like my life." Not like my wife. He said, my life, okay? It should be the same thing, right? But I love you like my life. Therefore, they organized this type of relationship officially through a covenant. And when it was the moment, David said, "Let's renew our covenant." A good practice to remember that you are in a covenant. What does it mean? Means that I love you, my brother and my sister, like my life. If I stop loving you, I don't love my life, I commit suicide. So we are all in or all out. Right, Tita? Is that serious? We talked about this in the small group, and Tita said, "Is that serious?" Yeah, that's serious. Now, what I want to talk about is about membership. And in today's world, membership means to pay some fees, to have a special ID, to have a fidelity card, right? Like you go to Metro, you have their card. You go to what? Yeah, you go to Penny or, you know, you have to, well, they will give you points. So you better show them, "I'm with you, I'm in this together with you." But the church is not that. When you talk about membership of the church, a lot of people will think, oh, this is, you know, too countercultural, because in our postmodern world, in post-Christian world, the local church is portrayed like very manipulative and sometimes brainwashed. Guys, you are stupid. If you are part of the church, you are stupid. And we talk about membership of the church. It's like, what? What's going on? From the very definition of the church, you know, probably you've heard about this. You know, in Greek, the word church is gathering, right? What is that word? Huh? Ecclesia, yeah, or ecclesia. So we found out that the church is actually an official assembly of people. It's official with a purpose and goes through like a protocol. There is a protocol. Nobody, like, I'm doing whatever I want, you do whatever, and we are a church. We are not. That's a mess. It's not a church. And that the assembly was sometimes summoned for regular meetings, like we do this, like every Sunday, right? Or special meetings. So we do this even today. Ecclesia is that. The protocol was clearly set by an agenda, and the agenda of the meeting, and the assembly could not initiate new business because that would be illegal. Now, in Acts 19, you read the text. You read this, it's a legal assembly or illegal assembly. You got that? The same word, ecclesia. It's the gathering that is either legal or illegal. A legal one, well, that one was not illegal, right? That was a riot. And an assembly without a protocol and without being summoned is illegal. This assembly was in confusion. Actually, there were some people there, and they said, we don't know why we are here. Well, I hope nobody here today says, I have no idea why I'm here. I hope you know why you are here and why you were summoned, not by me, but by Jesus Christ. He summoned us to be all together. And when a meeting is legal, like in verse 39, it means it's legally summoned, it's called, summoned out. Actually, ecclesia means called out, summoned out. We are summoned out of this world to be here and to have a protocol, have a purpose. What's the purpose of the church? What's the purpose of this meeting? If somebody asks you, why are you here? What's the purpose of you coming here? Well, that's a good question. I hope you know the answer. And in Acts 38, it says that the assembly was gathered, and the people were charged and to come. And there is a word, proconsul, there. It's the governor of the province, but the governor never called them. Come on, guys, let's talk about this. They wanted to do this, and it was not an ecclesia. It was a riot. What legal means according to the law, or regular. It was not even regular. It was not even according to the law. So when you think of an ecclesia, you think in these terms. By the word of the church, we are an assembly that is legally summoned, and we have a purpose, and when we know who is in and who is out of this meeting, right? It's very clear. Now, in political sense, ecclesia was the assembly of 18 plus male citizens. But when we talk about the church, and so these are they were qualified to be citizens. Now, when we are church, what qualifies us to be church? You see, we need to know this. Otherwise, it's not a church. It's illegal. It's a riot. It's a mess. We don't want the church to be a mess, but very organized and with a purpose. The word that describes the church has this idea of a membership, being part of, being a member of. If someone didn't meet the qualifications, like, you know, 18 plus male, So if you are a woman or under 18, you are not part of that ecclesia. I'm talking about political, right? I'm not talking about the church, okay? But you understand there are some things that qualify you to be in and some things that qualify you to be out. Now, if you are in, that means you are in together. It's not like, oh, I'm an individual and I don't care about you. No, we are all in this because we all qualify. So when you are part of the church, it's because you are qualified. In a spiritual sense, what are the qualifications of a member of the assembly? What makes the difference between in and out? A lot of texts that you already read were about in and out. Exclude this member, right? Get him out. Well, he is not in. So you need an in order to be out. What makes that in an in? What is this? Is just a meeting on Sunday and that's it? And then next Sunday you go to another meeting and another meeting? No. You stick with your friends. You stick with those who are in a covenant. And you love them like your life. So, I found 9. Now, maybe there are more. I don't know everything, okay? So I found 9. I thought, you know, these are enough. 9 evidences for church membership. Why I'm saying this is because some people say, well, membership of the church is not biblical. I'm sorry, it is. And, well, you will draw the conclusion afterwards for yourself. But when I read the scripture, I found this 9, okay? First, membership is implied in the metaphor, the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, right? It is unnatural for a Christian to join a body of believers and not functioning as the member. I'm talking about member here, right? I'm not talking about member on a role. A member of that body. So if this finger is mine, it's part of the body. It's not out of the body, right? And in verse 24, Paul said, but God has so composed the body. He put it together. He composed the body with a purpose in mind, not just to be a statue. God never intended the church to be a statue, but a body that is functioning with a purpose and with very dynamic and with life. The word membership, actually, I was looking in the dictionary, and the word membership means being a member. So when God brings all the members in a local body, he thinks, well, I need him, I need her in this body because they need. So you are not a member of the church because, well, that's how we do things. No, you are a member of the church because we need you. And by the way, you need us. It's not only like, you know, oh, so I'm like a slave here in the church or you want to take advantage of me. No. It's the other way around. You also need us. We need each other to function like our body. In the morning, you didn't thought, you know what? I don't need these fingers today. I'll cut them off. Who in the world thinks like that? So we need you and you need us. It's something very organic. And in verse 18, Paul said, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Now, if you have any problem with that, argue with God, okay? If you have any questions, ask him. So the role of each member is chosen by God because he knows he invested in you something very special. And he said, you know what? I need you here. Not only you need this place, but I need you here because I need this body to function properly. Now, a second text was in Acts 20. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all flock, as Paul told, you know, talk to the elders in Ephesus, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So elder shepherding proves the need for membership. Why I'm saying this is it's not about the universal church, okay? Well, you know what? There is one guy who thinks that he is the elder of the whole church. You know his name? The Pope. The Pope. He thinks that he is the elder of the old church, and he's right. No, he's not right. He's wrong. It's not about the universal church here, but the local church. Elders are in the local church, and the elder from Ephesus were overseeing a group of believers in that city, their flock, and God called this flock ecclesia, the gathering, the assembly of God. The elders needed to know the extent of the gathering, you know, the 18 plus male and everything, the qualification. This is the membership. When you are a member of a church, you need to have, like, there is a list of qualification. It's not like, well, yeah, sure, you come in, that's okay. No. The fact and the quality of the members relate to the qualification of being a member of the flock or the assembly. Another text was Matthew 18, right? Church discipline. You cannot do church discipline without knowing who is in and who is out of the church. So church membership, church discipline, implies a formal membership. It's not like, oh yeah, we are a group of friends and it's very fluid. It's not fluid at all. If membership does not exist, how do we define the group of people that applies the church discipline? Remember what Jesus said, and this is Jesus. If he refuses to listen to them, tell him to the universal church. Well, it's impossible. Tell to the church, the local church. And if he refuses to listen, even the church, ecclesia, the gathering, then let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Who is the church that talks with the brother who sins against you? Who is this church? Like, you go on the street and say, are you part of a church? Are you a Christian? Yes. Okay, come. I need you and maybe two. Are you? No, I'm not. Okay, no, not you. And then, no. You know them because you gather always together with them. And there is accountability in that group. It's not like on the streets, right? Church, and then they're connecting to this, Matthew 18, but there is the text, maybe you thought, what is this text about? You know, 1 Corinthians 5, about the guy, the sinner in the church of Corinth. Church excommunication is connected, assumes membership. Now, this is kind of a formal language because Paul said, for what have I do to you with judging others? I don't care about others. I care about you, this church. It is not those inside the church whom you are to judge. You hear that? Inside and outside. God judges the outside. Purge the evil that is among you, inside. God is thinking about, but what is the difference between inside and outside? That assumes and implies a membership. We know who we are inside. Who is inside? It's not like, I don't know, yeah, no. And interesting, in 1 Corinthians 5:18, Paul talks about not to associate with this sinner. Do not associate, do not gather with. And then in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 8, he says, show him love again. Oh. So how you excommunicate somebody, you don't show love, you isolate. And then when that person repents, you love him again or her. But it's in and out again. It's about membership too. It's not only like you are not part of this group. Well, that person comes to the gathering. What do? Call the police? You say, hey, bring the cobra here. We have a person that we excluded from our gathering, and he's coming back. No, No, it's about the membership of the church, not only about the gathering, you know, Sunday morning gathering. And then the addition of the 3,000 souls in the book of Acts, right? Acts 2:41. So those who received his word were baptized. And listen the wording here. And there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. You add a number to another number, but you need to know the first number in order to add the second number, right? That's, I mean, it's very easy math, right? But how do you know? You know you have 3,000 to add. To add to what? What number you have? So they had probably, and we know for sure that they were keeping records of people who is in and who is out. Oh, in the New Testament, you have the list of widows. It's a list. It's a membership, not card, but list of widows in the church. Or keep tracking of the daily numbers. In the book of Acts, always, you know, talks about like 3,000 were added. Now there were 5,000. How do you know how many there were? If you don't have some formal knowledge of these people. Not only informal. Oh, yeah, I know somebody else who gave his life to God. And where is that? I don't know. But I know him. You know, I met him once. No. Another one in Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Doing good to those who are of the household of faith implies membership. Not only attendance, you understand? Not only attendance, but membership. I know you are part of my family. I will die for you. Do you want to die for a person that is, well, last Sunday? No, 2 Sundays ago, I asked you if you would die for your family. Remember that? Yeah? And the majority said yes. That's a good sign. We do this. But would you die for anybody, like from, you know, from the street? You meet somebody and say, yeah, I will die for you. Would you do that? I don't know if you would. I'm not doing this. You know, I'm out of this. I'm not. You know, your problem, man. But when you talk about the church, you talk about your life. I already, as you said, I'm already dead. I already gave my life to you. Right? I already. Why? How? By being a member of this church. Is that serious? Is that serious? Doing good implies the same thing. Church membership helps us to distinguish between the neighbors and the family. The family. And actually the term household literally means belonging to a household, right? But membership means a member belonging to other members. It's the same thing, membership or household. You see, even the main idea of family means kind of a formal. It's not only informal because you have the same name, right? But then you live in the same place. Not everybody is part of your family. Oh, you have some other relatives, but they are not your family. So it's very easy to understand why this is so not only informal, but also formal. Jesus assumes membership when talking about sheepfold. We talked about that, like, I don't know, some time ago from John chapter 10, verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He was talking about us. He will bring us in the same fold with the Jews. And this is a big, huge, happy family. The sheepfold has an entrance and makes the difference between in and out. It's, you have an entrance and then walls. And Jesus didn't say, and I am the shepherd, and we will be a shepherd and a fold. Right? He said, a shepherd and a flock. But that flock is differentiated from the outsiders. Membership is implied when it's to obey the leaders of the church too. you read the text in Hebrews 13, 17. If there is no belonging to a local body with members, then which leaders should the Christian submit to? Should I submit to anybody who says, yes, I'm an elder? Well, our brother is a pastor. He's an elder. Should I submit to him just because he was part of grace? Now he is part of... No, he's not part of this group. But we know that he is an elder and a pastor, and we love him dearly. But is Hebrews 13, 17 applies to him or to me? Or you understand, it's very important to have formal also membership. We know who is in and who is out. Membership in the local church is a method for Christians to fight against stubbornness and against individualism by placing themselves under an authority. I know this is kind of scary. I know for some it's like, oh, what? Well, this is all about the church. It's about somebody's authority over me. I don't like that. You know, I'm ready to fight against this idea. It's implied in this. When you are a member of a church, you take that humility and say, you know what? You are the authority in this church. I will listen to you. Any type of leadership in the church, especially elders and pastors, right? But any type. It's not, you understand, the church is, you have to have a protocol. It's official. It's not something I do if I want to. I listen to you if I want to. I don't like you. You know, your face is so ugly. I'm not, you know, I will find somebody else better. No, you cannot do that. You renounce of individualism and stubbornness by placing yourself under an authority. And that's what Hebrews 13, 17 is about. And I left this for, like, to be the last. I love it. On a macro level, the universal church, God keeps records of those who are saved, and the record is called the Book of Life. It's awesome. Hebrews says, Hebrews 12, right? Those who are enrolled in heaven. That book of life is in heaven right now, and when you are saved, you are written in there. Now, if the word ecclesia means gathering, could you explain me the universal church? Yeah, some of them, they are dead already, and they are in heaven. Some of them, some of us, we are here. But a part are in Vienna, a part are in the Baptist church in Jerusalem. We never met with them. You know, I would gather with them. When it will be, I mean, theoretically, we are part of the universal church. But when is the first meeting of the universal church? At the rapture. Because on it's like, you know, you come to a meeting and you are a little bit early. You know, you are a bit early and you think, oh, no, 10 minutes. But, and you take a sit, and then there are others coming, and then you chat, and you feel good, and you have a group here, a group there. But then the meeting starts, and then everybody's like, okay, we are in. Now, it's what's going on? So this is the same thing with the rapture. We come, some come early, and they are already there, you know. And they say they chat, they are feeling good, but they are waiting for the meeting to start. And either we are in alive or dead, you know, in heaven, we are still waiting for the first meeting of the universal meeting or the gathering. And when we will gather all together, oh my God, then you can talk about real universal church. And then we will have only one pastor, the chief shepherd, Jesus, and one flock. That's awesome. I love it. I mean, I look forward for this moment. But imagine, until then, we have to gather together in this small gathering. And we, our names, if their names is written in heaven, our names are written in a membership list. I don't know. It's formal also. It's not only informal. And this is what I'll give you four conclusions. I know it's already 12. We don't have time for, you know, small groups, feedback group. But think about this. If we need to summarize the membership factor in one word, I was really thinking about this, and only one word came to my mind. If you maybe you have another one, but mine is commitment. Membership talks about commitment. Formal membership to a church, local church, is an expression of my commitment to you. I'm committed. I will die with you if I need to, or for you. I am here for you, and you are here for me. We are all together in this. I dedicate myself. I dedicate my body. I dedicate my time. I dedicate my skills. I dedicate myself, my life, to you, because I already did it to Jesus. And this is the body of Jesus, right? You see how all things come together? It's so easy to understand this. But you also dedicate to authority in the church. If one can hold you responsible and accountable on earth, then somebody holds you responsible and accountable in the heaven. You see, we talk about these two realities. This one yet to come. This one right here. It's already here. Without membership, no one can count you for anything. If you are only a body part and you are not connected to the body, you understand body part? Okay, and you are not connected to the body, then what is the reason to be a body part? What do you do with a body part? You transport body to here, but finally, what? You are a doctor. You need to attach it to a body. I've heard about Christians thinking, you know, I don't need the church. I'm alone. I'm like, you are not. It's like being a body part and kept in the refrigerator. For what? What's the purpose? You just want to chill out or what? It's not, I don't, okay. Maybe this is a little bit too much, but I thought, you know what? It is so weird to say that my name is Christian Pana, but my hand is not Christian Pana. It's Rodica Pana. I cut my... It doesn't make any sense. When you talk about Christian Pana, you talk about the whole thing, right? It's the same with the membership of the church. If God keeps the record of people enrolled in the universal church, and if the local church is the universal church in the miniature, then there is any reason not to keep any formal records of members? No, we don't have. God already did that in heaven. And the last conclusion is this. Being part of a small group of friends, it doesn't require formal membership, right? I mean, if you are friends with some, like another four guys, okay, and did you ever had like, okay, a gathering saying, you know, from now on we are friends and we are writing our names on a piece of paper just in case if someday we will forget that we are friends, we come back to that piece of paper. We do this? No. Actually, Gabi, right here, this man, he is my best friend. He is. By far from others, he is my best friend. We never had a time, you know, to write it down on a piece of paper. Like, no, from now on, I'm your friend. What? We don't do that. It's impossible. It's not normal. But being part of a group that interacts formally with other groups or institutions, you need to be part of that, right? So what's my point? The church is not only a group of friends. Are we friends? Yes, we are. We are friends. We are in a covenant, but we are also members. Why? Because these friends, they interact with the state, and you need something formal. You interact with other churches, bege, and you need something formal. And because of that, we need to have formal membership. And by the way, we need to pay rent. We need to, right? So all of these, practical and biblical, from my point of view, they look in the same direction. Formal membership of a church, of a local church, we need that. It's something that is we have to have. So that's my point for today. It's already 12:05. We have the last song. Sorry for taking your time, you know. Huh? I know, but it's 12:05. Should we have feedback groups? It's already 12:05. Yes, let's do that during the small group. Yeah, let's leave this to the small group. If you need, the whole sermon is in Google Classroom. You can download, you can read it again, and in the small group, talk about this. I think it's very important to have this not only a card. It's more than a card, okay? Lord, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for your love and sacrifice. We are the result of your sacrifice. And here we are, all together, gathering every Sunday. And not only because we love each other. We are not only friends. We are not only part of the same family or part of the same covenant, but we are part of the same body. And we are members one to the other one. And we minister to each other because we are part, and that the life that is in me is also in all the other members. Thank you for this life that you gave us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the freedom that we have to gather together and to praise your name, because you deserve to be praised. Amen.